Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said to me, come and let's go up to the house of the Lord. How many of you are glad to be here? Not too bad. How many kids are glad to be here? How many kids want to go see Craig today? All right, well then you go right on ahead and go see Craig today. Very good. How many of you know that there is an evil day planned for you? Can you believe that? That the devil has an evil day planned for you. Last week we talked, well, you got to go onto Facebook or go onto the website, but we recorded a message on, and you can find it on Facebook on our SBC Ministries Facebook page. Or if you want to go to our website, sbcministries.net, it's there too. It's called Repurposed, number two. So if you want to go listen to that, it's basically we went through, continued on in the story of Esther, and we talked about our suddenly, because we all have a suddenly. I don't know if you know this or not, but when the Bible talks about all these things going on, and then there's a verse, inevitably there's a verse when God shows up, it says, and suddenly. And when that suddenly happens, big things happen, right? And when big things happen, not just big things happen to one person, but big things happen to a whole bunch of people. And so we're going to talk today a little bit more about the suddenly that happens to a whole bunch of people. But before we get started, I want to tell you about this evil day thing. And if you have a Bible or a tablet or a smartphone or whatever, and you want to go to Ephesians 6, I want to start with the 10th verse. And it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, all right? And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up all the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Okay, so there is an evil day planned for you by the devil. But how many of you know that the devil can't overcome God? Amen. Amen. How many of you know that God does not have an enemy in the devil, because the devil is under God's footstool? That the devil is under God's thumb. And that the devil can't do anything to destroy the work of the Lord, because God is greater. The Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. So God is always moving, and he has a plan even for that evil day. But we have a job to do. Ephesians 6:13 said, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Okay, so the big thing I want you to know is you're about to get involved in the will of God, okay? If you didn't think that you were there, you're there now. You are about to get involved in the will of God. It's not just about him being involved in your life and turning everything for the good in your life. Romans tells us that God turns everything for the good of those who believe. But it's not just about that. It's about you being involved in his life. It's about you being involved in his will and in his ways. See, your mantle, this is the first point, your mantle is about his purpose for you. A couple weeks ago, and then I think even in last week's message, I talked about this prophecy thing that was going on, and I was cleaning out the shower drain. How many of you have to clean out the shower drain every once in a while? Yeah, because all this gunk and all that stuff gets down into the drain. So every once in a while, you got to clean out the shower drain. And when I was doing that, usually I got to take a drain snake and get down in there and pull all that crap out, you know, and then take a whatever and just try and get it all out. Well, this last time that I did it, it all came right to the top. It was all right there. And I thought, hey, I don't have much to do at all. I don't have to worry about it. And I plucked it right out, and all the water is going down, you know. And just then, God said to me, I'm allowing wickedness to rise to the top. And when I do, I'm just going to pluck it right out. How many of you ever had to boil hot water in a pan to get all the grody, crusty crap off of the pan from the inside? And you got to boil the water, and all that junk just starts coming up to the top, right? And then you can drain it out. You can dump it out. That's what this is about. So we need to figure out now what's clogging the drain. What's getting down in there that is clogging the drain in the first place? And so three things we know that head hair does. How many of you ladies with long hair have to, when you're pulling out the... I know, Jimmy. I know. I know. So head hair. Head hair is man's wisdom, man's knowledge. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. But many, many times, many, many times, our own head knowledge, our own understanding, our own thoughts get in the way. How about body hair? I'm not going to ask how many of you women shave, how many of you men shave your body, legs, and all that stuff, but that happens. And men who don't shave, by the way, I hate to tell you this, but we lose body hair also, right? So it's not just our head hair, it's our body hair. And that is likened to our actions. We parallel that to our actions. Sometimes our actions get in the way. Sometimes our actions are what clog the drain. Sometimes we want to do the will of God, but because of our thoughts and our own ideas and our own mindsets, man, we're over here doing this stupid thing over here, this crazy thing over here, and it isn't nothing like what God wants us to do. And so that's part of what's clogging the drain. How about lie in the soap? Do you know what lie is? In the soap, yeah. How many of you have heard the phrase, a lie is a lie? It don't matter if it's a white lie, it don't matter what your intention was, a lie is a lie, right? Well, in this case, the lie is a lie. In other words, the lie of the soap represents the things that we say. See, sometimes we can have our own thoughts, sometimes we can have our own actions, and they all get in the way. But sometimes the very things that we say, the very things that roll off our tongue, are the very things that clog the drain also. And now imagine all of those things put together, clogging the drain, the head hair, the body hair, the lye and the soap. And then you got to look at the front of your bulletin, and you got to pull that gunk out that looks just like that when you're pulling it out of your shower drain, right? That's the wickedness that we're talking about, because man gets in the way. Man's own ways get in the way. We have our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own things that we say. Many, oftentimes, the Bible says a blessing and a cursing come off the same tongue. Many, oftentimes, it's the cursing that rolls off. It's so easy to let that roll off. It's so easy to think the negative and to say the negative and to portray the negative, but we need to start thinking the positive. We need to start thinking the godly. We need to start doing the godly, and we need to start speaking the godly. And God said, I'm going to remove these things. I'm going to let it rise to the top and pluck it out, because the ways of man are wicked, but the ways of the Lord are righteous. And then I'm going to give each person purpose. How many of you realize by now that you have a purpose? Okay? So if we're going to be involved in the will of God, we need to figure out what his purposes are. And some of us are called to be seed planters. How many of you know people that just go out and they can talk Jesus all day long? It don't matter if they're a stranger. It don't matter if they're your best friend, whatever. They're in a store, they're in a restaurant, and they're going, Jesus, boom, Jesus. Or they're speaking scripture like that. Okay, some of us are meant to be seed planters. But it doesn't just look like that. How many of you know that you can be a friend to somebody? How many of you know that you can, just being there for somebody is seed planting? Just acting godly to somebody else is seed planting. You're planting the gospel because they're being able to see Jesus in you.
I had this dream the other night, and this is kind of funny. Really, really short dream. But I was, it's kind of fairy tale-ish, but I was living in the land of Echo. This is literally, yeah. This land was called the land of Echo. And I was king, of course, it's my dream, right? I was king. But I was called King the Echo-hearted. Uh-huh. And everybody drove Jeeps, by the way. Sorry, Jimmy. King Echo-hearted. And I go, what the heck is King Echo-hearted? And I woke up, and my devotion for that morning, I have a little devotional book I got for Christmas. And my devotion that morning was reflecting Jesus. And I thought, echo-hearted, that's exactly what that's saying. We need to be reflecting Jesus in everything we say, everything we do, in the ways that we think. Some of us are called to be seed planters. Some of us are called to be seed waterers. The Gospels maybe has been presented to us in very many different ways, very many different times. But some of us, by being there, some of us by acting and talking and you know, all these things, we can be seed waterers. God uses us to water the seed that has already been planted. And then finally, some of us are called to be seed harvesters. This is the fun part. This is being able to watch somebody actually come to the Lord because of all the things that happen. This is being able to see people and experience people coming into the presence of the Lord, having an encounter with God. One of the biggest things you'll find out is God is the one who is all three of these, but it's you that he's using. God is the one who is the seed planter. God is the one who is the seed waterer. God is the one who is the seed harvester. But he uses you, and we got to be open to that. So I want to get back into Esther. I want to get to chapter 8. And let's see, Psalms, Proverbs. If you got a Bible, you can turn there too. So here's what's happened so far in Esther. The beans were spilled. Esther unfoiled Haman's plan to kill all the Jewish people. Okay? Now, Esther realized that she had a purpose. Esther realized, I need to do this regardless of what it's going to take, regardless of whether or not it's going to take my life. So she spills the beans, and here's the thing. A shift begins to take place. That suddenly that we talked about takes place. That suddenly that God promised is going to take place. Okay, and then that suddenly did take place. But it only affected one person at the time, and that's Haman. Or did it? And so in chapter 8, we find out that Mordecai, Esther's cousin, was promoted. And the house of Haman, because Haman was hanged, the house of Haman was given to the Jews. So we're starting to see this shift. And Mordecai, it says, Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had disclosed what he was to her. Esther finally lets loose that she's a Jewish person. The king took off his signet ring and he gave it to Mordecai. So now Mordecai's top dog along with the king. Where Haman was, the evil guy, he was up there, no more. Mordecai's now the top dog. Okay, a shift took place. So now Esther spoke again because we've got this thing going on, okay? A law was put forth that the Jews have to be destroyed. But Persian law says we can't change a law once it's made. Persian law says it can't be revoked. Not even the king can revoke it. So what the heck are we going to do? She said, if it pleases the king and I've found favor before him and the matter seems proper to the king and I'm pleasing in his sight, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, I don't even know if I pronounce that right, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the calamity which will befall my people? And how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? But this law is in place. We can't change the law, so what are we going to do? And so the king says, you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring.
for a decree which is written in the name of the king and is sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked. Okay, I want to stop there. How many of you know that you can speak on behalf of the king? Did you know that? Okay, Jesus said this, I have been given all authority under heaven and on earth. And guess what? I give you that authority. I give you that authority. You have the authority to speak on behalf of the king. What's clogging the drain? I'm not speaking on behalf of the king. Okay, you have all authority to portray what the king may want, to portray the will of the king. And many times we portray the will of us, right? That's clogging the drain. But so he's saying, you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring, for a decree which is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked. So the king's scribes were called at the time in the third month on the 23rd day, and it was written according Mordecai commanded to the Jews, satraps, governors, princes, provinces, which extended from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces. To every province according to its script, to every people, listen. He wrote in the name of the king and sealed it with the king's signet ring and sent letters. In them the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to defend their lives, to destroy and to kill and to annihilate the entire army of the people or province which might attack them. Okay, so God had it in plan that I'm going to do this. When the evil day comes, I've got this provision over here. These guys are going to allow, or we're going to allow the Jews to defend themselves. And how many of you know that when God's people get to defend themselves, God's on their side? And when God's people get to defend themselves and God's on their side, it can't be defeated. Right? They can't be taken down. They can't be destroyed because victory is in God's name. Victory is in the name of Jesus. So if we're on Jesus's side, how many of you know that when the evil day comes and we get to defend ourselves, we get to put on the full armor of God, how many of you know that when we are there, that we cannot be defeated? We can't be destroyed. We can't be taken under. So he's saying the Jews get to defend themselves. And they get to kill, destroy, annihilate the entire army of the people who might attack them, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil on one day in all the provinces. Okay, so a copy was sent out to the Jews. Now, get this. In each and every province and in each and every city where the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy for the Jewish people and a feast and a holiday. Okay, here's the thing. A shift takes place, and the Jewish people get to defend themselves. Now, how many of you know the Jews are going to win this war? Okay? Here's the last part of this verse I want you to catch. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews because they dreaded and they feared the Lord. They dreaded what was to come upon them if they didn't. So one of the things that God has been saying to me is that this is a year of the mantle, but this is a year where bad times will happen, but it will cause great revival. Now, how many of you know that when God shifts something, he shifts it so big that even people who aren't believers, they get caught onto it. It's like, wow, this God is really revealing himself in the world today, and This God thing, this is real. This spirit thing, this is real. This Jesus thing, this is real. How many of you know that if bad things are going to come then, that the Christians, if you're a Christian and if you're a believer, that you're good, right? You're set to go because God is your refuge and God is your strength. And when the evil comes, it's going to hit the people that don't have that refuge. It's going to hit the people that don't have that strength, that don't have that shield about them. So if you don't have that shield about you, today's the day to get that shield about you. So Esther chapter 9, guess what happens? The Jews do what? They kill, they destroy, they annihilate, and they gain victory. All right, now Esther says this. It ain't enough. But one day, that ain't enough. King, if it pleases you, please, let them do it again, another day.
Now, the Jews are really killing people here. They're really winning. They're getting the victory. Esther is running up the score. How many of you watch football? How many of you know what running up the score looks like? How many of you know that when you're winning and you're gaining victory over your teammate and you want to be cocky and confident, you run up the score? Esther is running up the score, but Esther has a reason. And what Esther wants to do is Esther wants to destroy the sin of mankind that is going on in that province. She wants to destroy the mindset completely. She wants to take away the idea that you can defeat the Jewish people because, guess what? They're meek and they're weak and they're pansies and whatever. How many of you hear that about Christians today? They're weak, they're meek, they're pansies. And then now there's a role reversal that Christians don't even love anymore because, we speak truth. We act in truth. And so now they're saying we don't love. Well, which is it? Be manly or be pansy? I don't know. I don't understand. How many of you have seen the Gillette thing now where Gillette wants every man to be not manly anymore? I'm thinking about even Hollywood, all the manly men there. And Gillette wants them not to be manly anymore. Tom Cruise, can you see Tom Cruise not being manly anymore? How many of you can see Clint Eastwood as a pansy? How many of you can see Bruce Willis as a pansy?
John Wayne.
John Wayne, he's dead though, I'm sorry. Elvis Presley, he ain't dead, he just went home. Tommy Lee Jones. You know, think about all that. They're calling us to be not what God created us to be. Because the evil day is coming. Plain and simple. But guess what? I got a king on my side. And that king has put a decree out that I have authority. Not only do I have authority, but I can act on that authority. And I have refuge in the king. So the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and 10 sons of Haman at the citadel in Susa. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? What's your petition? It shall be granted to you. And what's your furthest request? It shall also be done." Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let tomorrow be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the edict of today. Let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded that it should be done, and an edict was issued in Susa. And Esther runs up the score. The Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 14th day of the month, Adar, and killed 300 men in Susa, but did not lay hands on their plunder. Okay, so they were all, 75,000 people were killed in that. And these were people who hated the Jewish people. And then Mordecai finally said, "Listen, this is a time that we need to start to celebrate." Now, how many of you know when God gives you victory, it's time to give him praise? Okay, so we need to understand that there's going to be a time of victory coming. And when that time of victory comes, we need to be able to praise him. We need to be ready to praise him. In fact, we need to practice praising him now. We need to practice praising him in the evil day, okay? And it says, This feast was planned. This feast was, they were putting together this feast. And Mordecai issued that they should celebrate this feast each and every year as a reminder of what God did for them. And so these feasts come out. It's a feast of Purim. How many of you heard of Purim? Anybody? It's a Jewish feast. Plain and simple. It's a Jewish feast. It's what God did for his people. Just like Passover, it's what God did for his people. Just like we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection because it's what he did for his people. And so we need to get in the act of praise because we need to be praising always. But I want to backtrack just for a minute because I want to say this to you. What's going on today in our world is due to sin that we haven't dealt with for years. What's going on today in our world are things that we haven't dealt with for years. You can backtrack and you can go look and you can see that progression of how things just got
to where they are today. It's like a cancer. We've gone into remission at times, but guess what? It comes back. And when it comes back, it seems like it comes back with a vengeance. So we, the nation, the world, we have this cancer, but guess what? It's time to be healed. It's time for that cancer to go away completely. It's time for that cancer to be removed and for it to be removed from all of the body, all of the body. Esther's goal was to get rid of all of the sin, and she succeeded. In fact, many people, because of it, became Jews out of dread. I think many people, as time goes on and as that evil day approaches and as God gains victory, as Jesus gains victory, I think you're going to see many people say, I want that. I want that victory. I want to be a part of the winning team. I want to be a part of the team that they can't do any wrong because they're walking in the ways of the Lord. I want to be a part of that team. So I think I told you in the past, I think it's going to be the worst of times, and I think it's going to be the best of times. There's going to be such a revival, though, that many people are going to come into the salvation, and I think that's worth praising God over right there. Esther says they begin to celebrate and feast and do all of these things the Lord asked, giving to the poor and taking care of those in need. How many of you know that the will of the Lord doesn't stop? Whether you're mourning, whether you're celebrating, whether you're, you know, whatever it may be, the will of the Lord does not stop. And so they celebrated by giving to the poor, taking care of those in need. And of course, the feast, I mean, it would be wrong to be a Baptist and not have a feast, right? So it would be wrong to be a Jew and not have a feast either. And so they had this feast. But again, the will of the Lord continues. When we have the word in our heart, we celebrate it by living it out. So there may be an evil day planned, but guess what? God determines the outcome. And if you are his, if you are in the shadow of his wings, if you are in his refuge, that day will be victorious for you. It won't be an evil day for you. That day will be victorious for you. So I want to ask you to camp out in the word. I'm going to ask you to praise God. I don't care if you're driving down the road. If something's going on in your mind, turn on the radio, listen to WBCL, listen to Star 883, whatever it is. Listen to praise music. If you got your own CD, whatever it is, get in his presence. Get in his praises, okay? Act in his praises, because these are the things, if we don't, these are the things that are clogging the drain. And God says, I'm going to remove it. I'm going to remove it. We need to be prepared. We all have a purpose. We all have a design, and I know that your purpose and your design is going to be a great, great thing. I know it. I know it in my heart, and I believe it. We have one person today that's going to be going off and fulfilling the purpose, and I'm going to let you take that on, if you would.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate what you had to say today. I was listening, especially.